God, who is love, gave you Jesus, who is grace. And your faith in Him gave you hope for a future.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, join Kenneth Copeland and Jeremy Pearsons as they bring another message on living in our redemption. Understand the true meaning of God's unfailing, never-ending love for you.
Welcome, everybody, to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you, sir. Thank you for the word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us so that you gave Jesus for our redemption. We receive it, we thank you for it, and we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Join me again today in welcoming Jeremy Pearson to this broadcast.
Thank you, sir.
Jeremy,
I
really appreciate the things you said yesterday about communion and the presence of Jesus, when you begin to magnify Him and talk about Him, remembering Him as often as you do these things. It really impressed me yesterday. It's been really a big part of my life, of course, all these years. But I'm sensing a call of God to spend more time at this, do it more often. As often as you do that, he didn't put any limit on it. He just said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And think about me. Think about, consider him lest you faint in your minds. And there's a lot of people that their minds are so overwhelmed with, what are we going to do? Particularly the mess that men have gotten our government into, and the trouble that the nation has, and all the sin and all that stuff that's going on, it overweights and overburdens your mind. And the scripture says, consider him unless you faint in your mind, grow weak mentally. Consider him. Consider the one that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider the one that endured such shame and pain and all of that for me.
Yeah.
And as you get that on your mind, particularly at the communion table, there's rest there.
There is.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Get us back into this thing again today, boy.
I want to look again at Galatians chapter 3, and this has really been our foundation. We've looked at it a time or two, but it's been our foundation for this study in redemption. And redemption, again, just being not a subject, not a message, it is the Bible. It is the story of the Bible from the moment man fell, really from before the foundation of the world. This is our story. Yeah. It's so big. It reaches into every area of our lives. And this is how it does so. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? How did the anointing redeem us from the curse? It became a curse for us. Jesus, the anointed, became Jesus, the cursed, on that cross.
For real. For real. It wasn't something that was just kind of accounted to him. He was made to be sin for us.
Yes, sir.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, we're right back to that exchange again.
Absolutely.
The cross is a place
you have to come back there. I mean, every so often you got to come back around to what he's done for you and what you receive from him by faith. I mean, it comes back around to that. It should come around to that every single day of our lives.
Every day.
Every day.
You get to where every word people say, everything that comes on television, everything that you see happening around, your renewed mind begins to think, well, no, not me. Not me. Well, we're all going to fail financially because, well, not me. God supplies my needs. I'm redeemed. I'm the redeemed. That's not my promise.
Sure.
So that you get to where your mind will just categorize everything it hears, and it'll compare to what the Word says, and instead of what the world says.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, well, I guess that's not going to happen to me too. No. You need to talk back to that television if you're going to watch it. You either be saying, yes, amen, or not in this house, man. No.
You judge every statement.
Everyone.
We talked about this in the light of redemption and in the light of God's love for you. You want to know if what the guy on TV is saying is true, whether he's a preacher or an anchor man, you judge the statement in light of redemption. And you judge that message or you judge what's being said in the light of God's love. And God is not hard to figure out.
No, he's not. He never changes.
You just simply ask, what would love do? How would love respond? And this is what love did. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, or having been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14 is the purpose in all of it, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, this stood out to me years ago, but this is, because of what Jesus did, this is the first time since the introduction, well, I'd say it like this, since sin entered and death reigned, this is the very first time that you could talk about the blessing without also having to talk about the curse. Deuteronomy chapter 28, he outlined what the blessing was. Listen and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. But he had to also talk about the curse. But because of Jesus, Jesus isn't standing there saying, you're blessed and you're cursed, you're blessed and you're, you know, there's none of that
in
him. He is, the only thing he's doing is declaring the blessing over you and I all the time, if we receive what he's done. The New Living Translation of this says in verse 13, Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. Now, this is key. Isaiah 53, we talked about this, says the chastisement of our peace was on him. Chastisement. If I was to chastise you or you were to chastise me, what is that? We call it a chewing out. Mm-hmm. You got chewed out. You got chewed up and chewed down and chewed out. That's a verbal abuse, verbal punishment. And not only was the beating that Jesus took, not only was it physical, not only was it physical stripes and bruise on his back and the nails through his hand and the thorns on his head, but it was verbal as well. The man who never had a moment of uninterrupted fellowship with his Father now had to have that curse pronounced over him so that you and I could be rescued from it. And because of that fact, I refuse to pronounce the curse over my life. I refuse to speak words of cursing over me, my wife, my boy, my home, my stuff. I refuse it. I refuse to, with my own mouth, put back on myself what Jesus is standing there going, hey, I took that for you. Quit trying to take it back. I took that for you. I refuse to pronounce the curse. And if Jesus pronounces the blessing, then I will put my words in line with his words and I will pronounce the blessing over my own life. Now, what I want us to do and realize in this, let's go now to the book of Romans chapter 5. I want to begin in verse 1 and get as far as we can, and if we don't finish this, we'll go on into tomorrow's broadcast with it. But listen to this, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, justified means you were pronounced innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You went to court, your adversary produced all the evidence he could, but your lawyer, your advocate, and the judge who was on your side, because you stood there and instead of pleading guilty, you said, I plead the blood. Then your judge and advocate said, he's innocent.
Justice has been done.
Yes, it has.
That's what justified is. Justice has been satisfied.
Yes, it has.
With that blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's strong, isn't it?
And we've been justified by our faith, or I say like this, we've been justified by our faith in the blood. faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice this, though. We've got faith mentioned here in verse 1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Without getting too deep into this, the way you rejoice in the middle of persecution is knowing that my God loves me more than that guy hates me. He loves me, and He is more for me than this other guy is against me. That's how you rejoice in the middle of all that, but you have to know that about your God. That has to be a revelation to you. So we've got faith at work here, and it's our faith that gave us access into the grace, and now we rejoice in hope. What is hope? Hope is expectation. Hope is I expect good things because I believe in a good God.
Amen.
It's our expectation. Now, verse 3 again, not only that, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. Verse 5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Notice what we have in operation all at the same time. Our faith in Him gave us access into His grace, and by that we have a hope for a future because we know how much we're loved. Redemption.
How can you ever, in an economy like this, how can you ever expect to come out of this thing? I mean, you hadn't got anything, man. What are you talking about? How can you sit there and tell me that your needs would be met? You ain't even got a job. How can you expect that to happen?
Because He loves me.
He loves you.
Because He loves me. And I believe that.
And that's my hope.
We have known and believed
the love that God has to us.
Now, redemption.
That just really turned me off, man.
you can say the whole plan of redemption with these words right here. God, who is love, gave you Jesus, who is grace, and your faith in Him gave you hope for a future.
That's it, isn't it?
God, who is love, gave you Jesus, who is grace, and your faith in Him gave you hope for a future.
God and the love of God and the grace of God in Jesus planned a plan for you that's exceeding abundantly beyond all you can ask or think. It's the best thing. You couldn't contain the first paragraph of it if you knew the enormity of it. That plan is in force, and as we receive it, He's already planned it. He planned it for the foundation of the world, and He don't ever change.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood, the name, the word, the grace, all because He loves you, He's bringing that plan to pass if you just let Him.
Mm-hmm.
And you let Him, by faith, gives you access into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're back to the fact that God's promises belong to you. They're yours. His promises, yes and amen.
In Him.
In Him.
In Jesus, they are yes and amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
And that's where your hope is.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. How can I expect my needs to get met? How can I not?
Yeah. He loves me.
He loves me.
What would love do for me? And if you will ask yourself that on a regular basis, what would love do for me? And be honest with yourself and don't get religious about it. Well, He put this difficulty on me. He gave me this trial because He loves me, because He wanted to. Don't get stupid. You wouldn't say that about yourself and your own kids. Just be honest about it. What would love do? How would love respond? If you want to know whether or not the sickness in your life is from God or not, ask yourself, would love have put this on me? If He loved me, would He have put this on me? No, He would not. And it's so simple. It is so simple. And when you recognize, now if you take any element of that out of its place, it all falls apart. If God is not love, then He would not have given you Jesus. And without Jesus, there's no grace for us to have faith in, to have access to. And without faith in it, you have no hope.
If you choose another God in another person or in an idol or whatever there is, no other God has that kind of power to forgive and justify sin at its root, at its source. You don't have that kind of power.
Yeah.
No human being can cause your spirit to be reborn. Now, you can work on your flesh. You can pound it and beat it and work on it, and you can't ever get there. You can't ever satisfy that because you can't do it.
Yeah.
But when you come to Jesus, oh, man, yeah, but Brother Copeland, you don't know what kind of a dirty dog I've been. Well, yeah, I do. I was a dirty dog myself, brother. I was running in the same pack.
Sure.
But I know what kind of love he is.
Yeah.
And grace overpowers sin.
Yeah, Romans 5 says so, later in that same chapter.
Yeah. Grace much more overpowers sin.
Yeah.
Now, when we forgive, if you have aught against any, when you forgive, I don't care whether they ask you to or not, when you forgive, you have released the power of grace. And it not only will heal you, it begins to work in the life of the person that you forgave. I don't care whether you did it to their face or not.
Sure.
And that in itself is glory come down.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Powerful.
Powerful thing.
Forgiveness is an act of grace.
Yes, it is.
I've been thinking about that word, forgiven, forgive. And I do this a lot. I study these words and I think about these words. Forgive. And I'm trying to find out if it in its origin means this, but I'm going to tell you what it means to me. Let's take the word forget, made up of two words, for or before, and get or got or have possession. If you had your keys to your car and you forget what you did with them, then you have gone back to the way you were before you ever had them, right? Isn't that what forget is?
You might as well not have them. You don't know where they are.
If I've been forgiven, and again, we've mentioned this before, but anytime you see the word gift or given, immediately think grace.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Same word.
That's what it means.
It is a gift. If I have been forgiven, if I have wronged you in some way, and you forgive me, what are you doing? You are giving me the gift of going back to a time before I ever did anything against you.
That is really powerful, because that is the essential truth of forgiveness.
Yeah. That's the only way, he said, I can blot out your sins.
You mean some guy will say, well, I'll forgive, but I ain't going to forget. And you didn't forgive.
You didn't forget. I mean, you didn't forgive, yeah.
Yeah.
And that forgiveness, true forgiveness, takes a work of the grace. Indwelling Holy Spirit.
And I'll tell you something else, too. If you try to forget without forgiving, that ain't going to work either. Mm-hmm. It'll hound your mind. It'll ride you like you had a saddle on, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you can't do it. But forgiveness and by faith forgetting, and what God does, he blots out every iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
He blots out every transgression. He literally does it. He supernaturally does it. It isn't something that he could remember if he decided to remember it.
Right.
It isn't there.
He's literally gone back to the time before you ever did it.
Yeah.
And that's the whole principle of the New Testament. We're right here in Romans chapter 4, verse 13. You ever notice this? To preach the message of Jesus, Paul had to go back to the life of Abraham. Verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. He was talking to people that were so law-minded, he said,
they couldn't get their mind off of it.
For you to understand what Jesus did, you've got to go back to a time before, forgiven, before this law even existed. And it was just nothing between God and man but faith. You have got to go back to that time to understand what Jesus, who he is, what he's done for you, and who He is in you and who you are in Him, you have to go back to a time when all there was between God and man was faith.
Praise God, man.
Got to go back there.
Yeah.
And that's what forgiveness is. I am taking you back. This is God saying, this is my gift to you.
That's the reason the scripture compares us to a baby.
Mm.
When you accept Jesus as Lord, you're
born again.
You know, last week we had Justice in here and introduced him to the television audience. And somebody might sit there and say, oh, yes, but think of his past. What past? He ain't got any past. He don't know what a past is, man. It's just not there. That's the way God sees you when you accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, because you stepped over into the Beloved. Jesus does not have any sin in Him. Mm-hmm. It is not there. It is just not there. Amen.
Amen.
Well, He took yours. He bore yours. And Spirit, His blood, His name, His word will make your spirit just as clean from sin as your body gets healed and is clean of sickness and disease.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sickness and the disease and the sin were born in Him on the same, in the same body, on the same cross, on the same day. And it is so vital to know that that's what redemption is. That some people say, yeah, I'll tell you one thing, though. There never could be but one Jesus. Well, if that's true, then the cross was a waste of time. It was a murder instead of a sacrifice. He's brought us to the place to be just like Him,
mm-hmm.
to be as clean as He is, as strong as He is, everything that He is. He is us.
Yeah.
And He's called us to be Him.
And as He is,
so are we
in this world.
One with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Bone of His bone. Spirit of His spirit.
Yeah.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Praise God. That's
oh, glory to God. You done preached me happy, boy. Praise God. Amen. Brother Jeremy and I'll be back in just a moment.
When you don't know who you really are, and you are not aware that no matter what you've done, you are somebody, life can be a nightmare. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you so that you may enjoy God's promises of health, peace, and prosperity. Jesus paid the price for you so that you could accomplish the goals God has planted in your heart. To make the truth of a prosperous life your reality, you must receive your inheritance. In Kenneth Copeland's 4-CD series, Receive Your Inheritance, Kenneth reveals you are entitled to God's promises. Health, peace, and prosperity are your right. God has an awesome plan for life. The key to it all is that you have to accept God to enjoy the benefits of His inheritance. Kenneth Copeland's Receive Your Inheritance shows you how. Free with purchase, receive the resting side of life. Jeremy Pearson's dynamic teaching on God's grace on DVD and CD. Order Kenneth Copeland's CD set, Receive Your Inheritance, today for just $20. As an added bonus, we'll send you Jeremy Pearson's teaching on DVD and CD called The Resting Side of Life. These are two great resources that reveal God's promises and lead you into His rest. For an additional product discount and faster processing, purchase your copies online. For these and other ministry products, go to kcm.org.
Receive your inheritance. You are entitled to God's promises. Now, there's 4 CDs in this message. A lot of detail in the things that we've been talking about here and what Jesus has done for us and how to draw on it, how to pull it into and in out from your spirit into manifestation where you need it in life. Now, along with that, Jeremy's teaching on the resting side of life, which is both a CD and a DVD of that message in this same package. And what's important about that, take the whole family, sit down and watch these things together. Feed on it. Then take the CD and listen to it on the way to work, on the way back home, on the way to church, and so forth. Feed on it, glean from it. and then pick up something else and be listening to that and gleaning from that for a while, and then go back to it and refresh it in your heart and in your mind. This is the way you become strong in the power of God. Amen. So do whatever you need to do to order it. Get online, call. I mean, whatever it takes. Get these into action in your life. Father, we pray for this radio and television audience all over the world. We hold them up to you today to receive whatever they need today to bring the victory of faith in God into their lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just had a thought from the Spirit of God right then. If something happened to your job, something's happened to your home, so, and all this mess that people are in, not here in just here in the United States, but all over the world, then go back with that in mind. You go back and you listen to this, and you listen to it, and you listen to it. Now you begin to meditate on these scriptures and what these things mean, and you begin to think, now how does that change my situation now? Now that I know all my needs are supplied, now that I know where my life is and I've entered into this rest and it doesn't bother me anymore, now how does this change my life? What do I need to do now? And you begin to hear direction from God. He may tell you to go down there and mow that guy's yard. Go over there and see to that, that widow woman's property. Go do these things. Yeah, but they don't worry about them paying you, God. You're working for God. Go do what he said. Amen. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries' prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher welcome you to the Behind the Mission Weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina, April 8th and 9th in the Westin Charlotte Hotel. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, celebrating 35 years in Canada. May 12th through 14th at the Langley Event Center. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Everything you say, everything you do, every action you take, everything you think and say it, it is a seed going somewhere.